Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to talk to you again.
And you. It's warm, isn't it?
Oh, just a bit. But hasn't the weather been so variable?
It has.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were having torrential rain with hail.
Tell me about it. I was on holiday.
Oh, okay. And then this comes out. I mean, it is phenomenal. And I keep saying to people, just be careful. Wear a sun hat. Lather yourself up with sun cream or whatever it is that you use. But please be careful, because sunburn is not a nice thing to have, and it's actually quite dangerous.
Yeah, I suffer with all that stuff, so I don't go too near the sun. But I had a sun hat that I had when we were away, and I had it. I've had it a couple of years, but somehow that's gone awry. I've still got my baseball caps to keep my head sort of not from not getting burnt. But sun hat essential, because it does the neck as well. But you know, we're not really looking after ourselves, are we? We should be looking after our plants.
We should
and
be
our gardens.
After
what
our
should
plants,
we be doing?
Not watering copiously to start with. Yes, we need to water, but aim the water to where it's needed, at the roots. I saw someone out the other day with a hose pipe just sprinkling the leaves. There is no point. You're just wasting money.
I was going to say, in weather like this, that's just going to burn off, isn't it? Very
absolutely.
Quickly.
And not only that, it will burn the leaves on the plants that you're watering. Because what happens, of course, is the sun rays actually boil the water on the leaf. Mm. And so you get patches. I mean, it is silly, but direct the water down. I've got water butts, which I'm using definitely all the time. They get filled up from time to time. So I've got one which is completely filled and one which is half full.
Mm.
The only chore is, of course, with my greenhouse down the bottom of the garden, you've got to fill up your watering cans and cart them down there. But
can you not run a hose pipe off it?
No, not off the water butt. No, not unless I get a pump, I suppose.
I didn't know whether you got a little tap at the bottom of it. You know.
I have, but then you can't regulate it.
Well, you put a nozzle on your hose pipe and that'll regulate it, won't it?
Yeah, but
what
it's where it is. Oh, well, if you're one of these people that can do all fancy things like that, yes. Doesn't work for me. I've tried it and there's not enough force to get down to the end of the garden. So you've got a dribble that comes out at the other end.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, not to worry.
Yeah, yeah. So the effect there
be
is
careful.
You need to build your garden muscles up to get your water up the garden to
exactly.
water the base of the plants, essentially.
Yeah. That's right. Right underneath the leaves, right down, because the roots are the ones that take up the water, not the leaves. So the only thing that I do is that I will damp down my greenhouse. And damping down is a lovely phrase. It's a good old gardener's term, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put it, I've got gravel and soil in my garden, in my greenhouse. And so by damping it down with the rose on the end of a watering can, you lower the temperature almost immediately by a couple of degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I've also got summer cloud, which is like a whitewash, really. And I've sprayed that all over the glass. So that, again, lowers the temperature.
It's one of those funny things with this hot weather, isn't it, really?
Oh,
that greenhouses are wonderful things, but in this weather, the last thing you actually need is for your plants and stuff to be behind glass, because it just magnifies
exactly.
the heat.
I mean, they frizzle up. That's the problem. So, but yes, and the other thing, of course, is feeding when you water. I actually do feed. I do feed. I'm not a big tomato feeder. I do feed tomatoes, but I usually use seaweed fertilizer.
Yeah.
Which I find is a fairly generic feed, really, for houseplants, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit of a lazy gardener in that way. Because
where do you get this seaweed fertilizer
you can buy
from?
It off the shelf. Off the shelf.
It's straightforward at any garden centre.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
No problem whatsoever.
Sounds interesting.
I like it because it gives all sorts of different things. It's well balanced. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so while we're on the subject of greenhouses and, say, the effect that the sun has to make those greenhouses almost too hot to go in, should we actually empty the greenhouse during the day of many of the things that we can actually move? Or should we just leave them where they are?
I'll leave them where they are. It depends what you've got. I mean, I don't take out the tomatoes. The tomatoes are planted in the ground anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you can move.
The cucumbers are in the ground. Mm-hmm. And then as much as I can, funnily enough, I'm doing a tour. And so it's to a mother's club, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm going to take along some geraniums and some pelargoniums, which I've propagated. And so just to sort of show them, really, because I find that it's all very well to tell people something, but they actually like to be shown how to pot on, or if you're putting one small pot into a big pot, which is the easiest way to do it.
Mm.
So I tend to demonstrate as well as anything else, and I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you mentioned, you've got tomatoes in the ground, they're in your greenhouse.
Yeah.
What sort of tomatoes are you growing? Are they the standard ones? Because you walk around the supermarket these days and there are so many different tomatoes, and there's a world of difference in the flavour of some of them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very much now on the sort of side of heritage varieties, which are quite interesting. But I, as a last resort, a couple of weeks ago, I was amazed. I'm growing a plant called Lizarno.
Mm-hmm.
Lizarno. It's a newish tomato for me. You don't do anything to it. You stick it in a big pot once it's grown and you let it go. And it's a bit like an enormous tumbling tom that you put in hanging baskets. It's had fruit on it for the last fortnight, and I got the first yellow one today, funnily enough. So I'm quite impressed with that. But I got the seed on recommendation from an allotment grower that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they picked 20 kilos. I mean, this. There were three plants in a big, like you've got at home, a raised bed.
Yeah.
And they picked 20 kilos over over the sort of session.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it's worth a try. And it does look as though it's going to be enormous, but it does eat up an awful lot of water.
Yeah, I mean, we had this last year. We're not growing anything this year. We're resting the beds this year. But we did this with the tomatoes last year, and over the course of the season, it was just ridiculous, the amount. We couldn't get the things off the trees or the plants quick enough. And then you have the dilemma, what do you do with all this stuff? So we've got tomato relish and goodness knows what else.
And you freeze them.
And, yeah, tomato soup. You can actually freeze them as they are.
All you do is to take the skin off.
Yeah.
Just drop them into hot water and just pop them in the freezer.
Oh, right. Okay. If you can find space in the freezer to put them, this is the trouble.
Exactly.
It's one of those things. It's very, very rewarding to grow them. But if you are going to grow them, make sure you have a plan for what to do with the end result. Otherwise, you are going to be inundated.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, why do people grow loads and loads of courgettes? Because, to be quite honest, two plants are enough. They really, really are.
Mm.
Because otherwise, if you don't pick them small enough, they get to marrows. So, and then nobody wants them.
And what to do with those?
Well, marrow chutney, marrow and ginger chutney. Yes.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
But there we are.
It's wonderful.
Gardening is just a wonderful occupation.
It is, because really one of the other things, I mean, a lot of the time we talk about plants and that, but this time of year, it's also a wonderful source of food, because the things you should be looking at the moment are sort of harvesting lettuce, radish and other salads.
Absolutely.
And early potatoes.
Yeah. One of the other things, which is an interesting thing that perhaps people don't realise, is that you get halfway through and your tomatoes begin to look a bit sort of sad and weary. If you take one of those side shoots off, root them in water and then pot them on, they grow later in the season.
Oh, right. That's a very handy tip.
Yeah, so it is quite an interesting one actually. But I went into a charity shop the other day, and there was a chap in there, and he said, "Oh, we've been given all these packets of seeds. I don't know what to do with them." So I said, "Oh, well, I'll take one." So I've got one, which is a children's seed. It's to encourage children to grow things, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's called Gobstopper. So what
Oh,
it's going to
lovely.
be like, I don't
Just
know.
the thing to attract children, a gobstopper. Wonderful.
Exactly. So I've got, oh, well, I've got about 10 plants here, all in pots, all waiting to come up and flower. I've
Yeah.
got them separate to my other lot, and they're extremely healthy plants. I'm dying to find out what they're going to look like. I am presuming they're going to be little round ones, but I
Well,
don't know.
we can but hope. Anybody who wants any handy hints like that from Jean at all, get in touch with us here at Susie Radio. It is info, it is, no, sorry, it's studio@susieradio.com. Mark it Radio Gardener and just stick your question in there and we'll get Jean to answer it for you. Okay, right. The other bits and pieces we've got, there are still some things that you need to do because there's some planting that needs doing, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, I would be very wary about planting anything summer bedding unless you're prepared to spend money and time watering them in. You should have had your summer bedding in now. My background to start for many years ago was Parks Department, and we always had everything in the garden planted up by the 1st of June, because by that time all the frost should have gone. And then you could get them watering in before the heat of the summer. So I would be very wary about planting in this weather, and it's going to get, in the next few days, I think it's going to get even hotter.
Yeah,
So
maybe leave it a week or two.
I think so.
Yeah.
But perennials, of course, are okay. They're in pots and you buy them from the garden centre. Roses, particularly, do make sure that you plunge them into a bucket of water before you plant them.
Yeah.
Real get that root ball in the centre really, really wet, because people tend to just water a little bit of a dribble on the top. Now, you should have at least 1.5 inches between the surface of the soil and the top of the pot, so that when you water right up to that surface of the pot, and then the water goes straight through. If you're
Right.
looking at plants from a garden centre, the majority of them have been what they call machine potted, and so the machine doesn't work out that you need 1.5 inches, right?
Yeah.
So it's filled right up to the surface. So, as I say, make sure that you really soak those plants before you put them in.
Okay, one thing that is well slightly different, I think now, and certainly follows on from if you've ever seen Clarkson's farm. One of the things that he does on or tries to do on a large scale on his farm is to create flowers and borders for to attract wildlife.
Absolutely.
So how would you go about that? If you
You can
hadn't done it and you wanted to start doing it, how would you start?
find a little patch which you don't mind if it's, looks scruffy, because that's the problem. There's a very fine line between biodiversity and having pollinator-friendly plants, etc. In other words, weeds, and the rest of your garden looking pristine, if that's the way that you like it.
Yeah.
I like a little bit of diversification, whereas I tend to underplant. I've got things like camellias and a couple of azaleas and biggish plants as what I call dot plants that
Yeah.
are around, and I underplant them with things like irises, echiums, all sorts of perennial plants that will thrive underneath them, but on the other hand, stop the weeds from coming up. So the
Yeah.
tighter you plant, the less weeds you get, more or
Yeah, I think
less.
this is more to do with the fact of you trying to attract sort of wildlife because we seem to be bereft of it somewhat. I know you used to go out and drive in the summer and you had a windscreen full of flies and that. You don't get that anymore.
You don't get it
And
so much, no, I would
no,
agree.
it's a worry that there are a lot less species around in the garden. And of course, they're quite important because they all have a role to play.
Yeah, they do. The only thing that, of course, you need to look at, which, if you're an avid gardener, you're going to go out there and please, please, please don't go round and spray loads of noxious, poisonous stuff. You can do it quite easily by your finger and thumb if you've got green fly or black fly. You squeeze them up, it's not too bad. But you can also, and I think we talked about this last year, Tony, about garlic spray.
Yeah, we did.
Garlic and soap spray, much more friendly. And then if the sparrows come along and eat one of the aphids that you've got, it doesn't do, doesn't sort of harm their internals. So they don't pop off as well.
Yeah.
So it's birds as well we've got to think about.
Yeah. So anybody interested in well, trying to attract a bit of wildlife and creating well, a border that does attract that kind of thing, and you've got pictures of it, send them to us because we'd love to see them. You can send them to tony.williams@susieradio.com or in fact studio@susieradio.com, whichever. We'll pass them on to Jean as well, and she'll give you a
Yeah.
tick for good or bad.
Right. What I'll do when I finish this conversation with you is that I'll send you a couple of photographs of my garden, and you'll be able to see what I've done.
Oh, we'll put those up with this conversation on the website, which you'll be able to listen to in a very short while. Jean, we've run out of time, believe it or not.
We
Hot
always
off
do, don't
hot, a
we?
hot day, and yeah, talking ended up talking about attracting wildlife to the garden. I think we can all go and go and stick our heads in buckets of cold water now, I think.
The only thing that is floating around at the moment is very lovely butterflies.
Okay, well, on that note, we'll say thank you for joining us this morning,
That's
Jean,
a pleasure.
and have a wonderful day, a wonderful summer, and we'll catch up with you in a few weeks' time. For now, Jean
Okay,
Griffin,
love.
thank you.
Bye bye.